Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Advaita Acharya, however, considers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his master, and he thinks of himself as a servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami explains the super excellent quality of devotional service as follows. Brahmananda bhaved esha chet praradha gunikritaha naiti bhakti sukham bhodehe paramano tulamapi. If multiplied billions of times, the transcendental pleasure derived from impersonal Brahman realization still could not compare to even an atomic portion of the ocean of bhakti or transcendental service. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.38. Similarly, in the Bhavartha Deepika states, Tvat Kathamrita Pathodau Viharanto Mahamudaha Kurvanti Kritinaha Kare Chatur Vargam Trunopamam. For those who take pleasure in the transcendental topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the four progressive realization of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation, all combined together cannot compare any more than a straw could to the happiness derived from hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord. Those who engage in the transcendental service of lotus feet of Krishna, being relieved of all material enjoyment, have no attraction to topics of impersonal monism. In the Padma Purana, it is in connection with the glorification of the mouth of Kartik, it is stated that devotee prays, Varam deva moksham na moksham vadiva na chanyam vraneham vareshadapiha idam te vapurnata gopala balam sadame manasi avristam kim anyay kuveratmajo vadha mrittai vayadvat tvaya mochitav bhakti bhajav krutav cha Tata prema bhaktin swakame prayachha namokshe graho misti damodareha. Dear Lord, always remembering your childhood pastimes in Vrindavan is better for us than aspiring to merge into the impersonal Brahman. During your childhood pastimes, you liberated the two sons of Kuvera and made them great devotees of your lordship. Similarly, I wish that instead of giving me liberation, you may award me such devotion unto you. In the Hayashirsha Sri Narayan Vyuha Stava, in the chapter called Narayan Stotra, it is stated, Na dharmam kamam artham va moksham va vara deveshvara prarthaye tava padhabje dasyam eva vikamaye. My dear Lord, I do not wish to become a man of religion or a master of economic development or sense gratification, nor do I wish for liberation. Although I can have all this from you, the supreme bestower of benedictions, I do not pray for any of these. I simply pray that I may always be engaged as a servant of your lotus feet. Narsingdev offered Prahlad Maharaj all kinds of benedictions, but Prahlad Maharaj did not accept any of them, for he simply wanted to engage in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, a pure devotee wishes to be blessed like Prahlad Maharaj by being thus endowed with devotional service. Devotees also offer their respects to Hanuman, who always remained a servant of Lord Ram. The great devotee Hanuman prayed, Bhava Bhanda Chide Tasei Sprihami Namuktaye Bhavan Prabhu Radam Dasya Iti Yatra Vilupyate. I do not wish to take liberation or to merge in the Brahman effulgence, where the conception of being a servant of the Lord is completely lost. Similarly, in the Narada Pancharatra, it is stated, Dharmartha kama mukshesu necha mama kadachan tvat pada pankajasyadho jivitam dhyatam mama. I do not want any of the four desirable stations. I simply want to engage in the servant as a servant of the Lord, of the lotus feet of the Lord. King Kulashekar, in his very famous book, Mukundamala Stotra, prays, Naham vande tava charana yor, dvandva adandva hetu, కుంభీపాకం గురుమపి హరే నారకం నా పునేతుం రమ్యా రామా మృదుతనుబత లత నందనే నాభిరంతుం భవే భవే హృదయ భవనే భావయేయుం భవంతం. మై డియర్ లార్డ్, ఐ డు నాట్ వర్షిప్ యూ టు బి లిబరేటెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ ఎంటాంగిల్మెంట్, నాట్ ఐ విష్ టు సేవ్ మై సెల్ఫ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద హెలిష్ కండిషన్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్, nor do I ever pray for beautiful wife to enjoy in a nice garden. I wish only that I may always be in full ecstasy with the pleasure of serving your lordship. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also there are many instances in the third and fourth cantos in which devotee pray to the Lord simply to be engaged in his service and nothing else. Bhagavatam 3.4.15, 3.25, 34, 3.25, 36. 4.8.22, 4.9.10, and 4.20.24. Prabhupada just gives quotation. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapada Kamalan శ్రీగురున్వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సా గ్రజాతం సహ గణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహ గణా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితంశ్చ. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతీ భక్తివేదాంతస్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరువశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవచ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమస్తతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభాను సుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ్ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ, సీక్ యువర్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ టు స్పీక్ సంథింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ చైతన్య చరితామృత. హియర్ ఇన్ దిస్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది చైతన్య చరితామృత్ Advaitacharya Prabhu is expressing his feelings of servitorship, that how he wants to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada just speaks about the concept of pure devotional service. The foundation of devotional service is service. Therefore, Prabhupada defines devotion or bhakti not as simply feeling. Unlike many Mayavad commentators, they define bhakti as some kind of feeling. But he defines bhakti as devotional service, active engagement. So without that, one actually does not make any tangible progress. And so, Advaita Acharya wanted to always be in that mood and in that consciousness that I am servant, I am servant, I am servant. It is so difficult when we have some position, or we think we have some position, and that position is mostly used for benefiting ourselves rather than benefiting others. That is the material consciousness. And because the living entity is in material consciousness and is actually working hard to get some position, not to benefit others, but to benefit himself. But here, the whole concept of servitorship is not used for getting position, rather that servitorship increases one's domain of serving more and more. Therefore, this whole concept of bhakti, devotional service and servitorship is so foreign to the present world, because we are living in such a world where the consciousness is very base, that one is worrying about money and food. One has to struggle about money and food. Yesterday we were discussing that how in Russia, Prabhupada mentions that when people have to stand in line for basic requirement, how can they think about the higher values? It is very difficult. Therefore, in Hindi, they say always, pehle pet puja, baad mein Gopal ki puja. First you fill your belly, then you can think about God. So we see actually, in the most countries, either they provide, if there is a lot of facilities, then they provide a lot of sense gratification. When a lot of sense gratification is provided, again you can't think about the higher values. It becomes base animalistic. Or then, though wherever there is no facility for basic requirements, then they have to struggle for existence. And the struggle for existence doesn't allow one to, again, think about the higher values of life. So it is very rare that one can understand the concept of bhakti, Krishna conscious philosophy, such a higher values. You know that even after having all that facility in the transcendental diary, Tamal Krishna Maharaj explains, Prabhupada, when he was in his last days, he was discussing about Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, na dhanam, na janam. He said, they will not understand. How they will understand? And the whole material life is geared towards, you know, more money, more enjoyment, more followers, more fame. When that's what people are working hard, when you talk about this, how will they will understand? They will never understand. It is very difficult to understand. So therefore we see that how Vedic culture, Vedic society was geared in such a way that in one's behavior, in one's education and one's surrounding was so facilitating for this kind of concept. So therefore to accept God, to accept reincarnation, to accept bowing down was not at all unnatural. Nowadays if you bow down also, we try to tell our children that one should bow down to an older brother, older sister, call them by respectfully. I say, no, we don't want them to call us respectfully. No. By calling respectfully, actually children don't want their siblings, their younger brothers or sister, to call their older brothers or sister respectfully. We see in the colleges also, the professors, they say call by name. Right? So in this way, when that respectability is removed, only when there is respect, then we can serve. Only when there is affection, one can serve. So if there is no respect and no affection, then you try to use others to exploit, to engage others in your service. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that when we come to this material world, the material world is not there for us to exploit and enjoy. We don't come here looking for our rights. Hamari mang pure karo. In India, there is always strikes, mostly if you go to Bengal, all the time. That fulfill our demands, increase our salary and make us work less. So when there is always demand for such psychological feeling that I want to work less and gain more. So how can one understand? Therefore it is our good fortune that these kind of concepts make some sense. That is by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. At least we are able to understand. You know, practicing, it will take long time. But at least this concept of pure devotional service is so beautiful. If it makes some sense, it is not making sense because our surrounding is very favorable, our surrounding is very horrible. But it is making some sense because there is a grace of Krishna consciousness movement, the grace of Guru and Parampara. Otherwise it is very difficult. You know, Prabhupada, when he was in America, he was talking to one gentleman about the concept of devotional service. He was not able to understand. He told devotee, just give him prasad. They gave him some gulab jamun or rasgulla. He enjoyed one. He was very happy. Then he said, give me some more. So Prabhupada was very happy that he loves and he gave him more. He said, what will you do? He said, I'll put in my rum and drink it. He wanted to put that gulab jamun in the rum and enjoy. And Prabhupada was saying, you know, just see. The level of consciousness is so low, but what can be done? So slowly, you know, try to, you know, give that chance so that they can hear. Again, I remember when I was young, you know, till I was 16 year old, we never had a television because there was no television in the city only. Very fortunate. Not having a television nowadays, like people want to commit suicide. Right. But in those times, you know, having no television, there was many things else to do. As Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, in his classes also, that people would sit and hear Harikatha. There's so many temples around my area. And in every, like Ramnami, there was Ramkatha, Hanuman Jayanti, there was Hanumanji Katha, there was Krishna temple, and there was Vittal temple. So regularly there was Katha going on. Now also Katha goes on, only 3 or 4 people sit. In those times, thousands of people would sit because there was no other entertainment other than hearing about the Lord. So people would go here and get some benefit. Now because how much the modern society has providing people to stray away from God, you know, the education system, the culture, the internet. So it becomes extremely difficult for people to practice Krishna consciousness, to take to the path of philosophy and to understand, you know, what is goal of life, you know, how one should progress. The society is making one as much as possible animalistic. Animal consciousness cannot think anything but now. And human consciousness, the real human consciousness means that you think ahead. If you study Bhagavad Gita in the very first chapter, Arjuna's arguments, they are not illogical. They are very, very reasonable. Arjuna saying, Krishna, why he doesn't want to fight? It is caused by compassion only. And what kind of compassion? The compassion based upon the future consequences. Not only future, immediate future, but the post future also. No, very, very beautiful logic. And therefore Prabhupada concludes that Arjuna is qualified to hear Bhagavad Gita because of his compassionate nature. He is compassionate to his own people in the very first place. But then he is extending his compassion to the other party also. If you hear his logic, he is considering everything based upon the background. No, what is the background? What is the culture? That we need to take care of family. There has to be Shraddha. There has to be Pinda. There has to be offering of water. If the war takes place, then all the warriors will be killed. And if the warriors are killed, then what will happen? The womenhood will become less protected. And because if they are not protected, there will be exploitation. That means he is thinking about the future. And if they are exploited, then there will be Varna Sankara. And if there is Varna Sankara, there will be no one to offer Pinda, water. And if they are not getting any water from their ancestor, then they have to, you know, not progress. There is no progression for them. Just see, he is seeing such a advanced future. His vision is not based upon just now. An animalistic vision means, I remember we were in Bangladesh for yatra, and one of our very observant brahmacharis saw one crow. You know, it's a beautiful land. Bangladesh is such a beautiful place. One man was carrying some flesh, and a small piece of flesh fell down. And from nowhere a crow, you know, just swung and picked up that flesh. Because that is the vision of the crow. It can give up everything else and just pick up that flesh. So similarly, when a human being is only focused on immediate requirements, and that's how the society is governed. Just worry about the immediate requirement. When we worry about immediate requirement, the concept of liberation, the concept of reincarnation, the concept of future becomes immaterial and illogical also. Very dangerous. So therefore, you know, these concepts, these beautiful stories has to be narrated, has to be spoken, has to be dramatized, has to be made into movies, so that people can understand. Like this one man, very nice person, who's working with this little Krishna. Many children must have seen. Now he's coming with another movie called Hey Krishna. And using Prabhupada's philosophy, he has done it so nicely. I remember meeting him. He said, after they came out with this series, no, people were thinking about Krishna. They were wanting only white color butter, not the yellow color butter, because that's what the movie was showing. And in fact, when Ramayana and Mahabharata came in India, till then many thousands of Indians had not taken television. It's a true story. They had not taken television because they knew if we bring television into our home, that will destroy our culture. But when Ramayana and Mahabharata was telecasted, We remember the entire street would be empty. Entire street would be empty and people would be glued to television. And that's how slowly, slowly people, you know, without considering that in the future they are not going to telecast Mahabharata or Ramayana. You know, they started bringing thousands of people. Even though it was not done by pure devotees, but there was Ramayana, there was Mahabharata. It was affecting, I remember, you know, there was one article, this was in one part of Mumbai, where it is, you know, fully dominated by Muslim population. Now them and Vedic scripture, you know, they go ill together, right? But still, they were so affected by this entire Ramayana. You know, in one home, one old Muslim man was watching Ramayana, and the episode was Dasharatha, you know, feeling separation from Lord Ram. It's a very beautiful episode. When Ram is going to the forest and Dasharatha is telling Kausalya that my son has stolen my eyes. My eyes have been stolen by Ram. I've lost my vision because the eyes have gone along with him. This is there in the Ramayana. And Dasharatha Maharaj collapses. So this man was so involved in the entire watching of the serial, he actually left his body on the spot. Such a fortunate soul. Let's see. Remembering Lord Ram and actually being involved in the drama was so beautiful that he became so involved. As Dasharatha left his body, he also died. Like our Gauravan Maharaj would explain that story. Actually, it happened in Odisha. You know, this is how they would spend their evening. So how can you not be absorbed in Krishna and Ram or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in your evenings? As Chanakya Pandit in his Arthashastra, not in any other book. Chanakya writes in his Arthashastra how one should spend one's day. He says, Prata Dyuta Prasangena, Madhyana Stri Prasangad, Ratrao Chaura Prasangena, Kale Gachati Dhimatam. This is spoken in his Arthashastra. He's expert in Arthashastra. He said in the morning time, one should, when one begins one's day, one should open Mahabharata. Pratya Dyuta Prasangena. And study Mahabharata, not read newspapers. So by reading newspaper, what will you see? Only so much of negativity. So much of negativity is there. It makes one that life is useless. Sometimes even devotees say, no, after all, we have to live for 34 years, then there is, we have to die only. No, we don't live to die. Life is not about dying. Life is about living eternally. We don't live here to die. We live here to create some legacy, depending upon how much we have influence over people. So it is not about dying. Dying means it's a Buddhistic philosophy. You know, after all, we have to die. It is not right philosophy. And that's what the newspapers do. Continuously all kind of negativity, accident here, death here, you know, tsunami here, bomb spot here. So this kind of reading, what does it do? It creates negative consciousness. And even materially, it is not good for people to read a lot of negativity. Therefore, Chanakya explained that one should avoid Mayavadis, the Buddhist, when if you want to achieve something positive. Because they will create negativity in your life. For Madhya, Prata Dyuta Prasangena. Read about the Mahabharata. It talks about how to live practically in this world. And afternoon you come back. Now this is foreign. Afternoon coming back to home from your job. I remember going to school and every afternoon I came back to eat from my mother's hand. Hot prasad. Not prasad, but food. But at least that facility was there. So he says, based upon the lifestyle in those time, that you come in the afternoon and Madhyana Stri Prasanga, then you hear about Ramayana. And then when you come back in the evening, Ratrau Chaura Prasangena, if you want to have a nice dream, not nightmares, what do? You hear about Krishna. Like one student was telling me, he's from one of the best schools in Mumbai. You know, he was got nice Gujarati family, Pushti Marge is worshipping Krishna. But then somehow that he got this video games. You know, they are the biggest terrorist. Right? The terrorist can only drop bombs and kill physically. But these video games, they are so terrifying, you know, once you start playing. Right? You watch children how they move their fingers. There is tension in their nervous system, their fingers, their thumb. You know, there is so much of, you know, we were traveling recently to Chitrakoot. I saw one young 7-year-old boy. He was so absorbed, as if, you know, his whole life was based upon, you know, destroying something. His fingers were moving, and we talked to his father, you know, how you allow your child like this? He said, no, bro. He was saying, you know, he doesn't go out only. And they live in a small village. There is so much of space to run around, play. He said, are ye to 4-4 ghanta khelta hai. He is playing 4-4 hours. Right? When you are living like that, you naturally have nightmares. And there's one student, many like that, playing 6 hours video games and playing really, you know, horrifying games. Night time you would have nightmares, and they had to take him to the psychologist and psychiatrist to treat him. And this is going to increase. It will be a common problem when you are living in such a tension life. Krishna Lila is not like that. In Krishna Lila, when you study, when you hear, when you dramatize. Therefore, Prabhupada gave that suggestion, one should, before resting, drink some nice milk and hear Krishna Lila. Then you actually can dream about Krishna. So Gaur Govind Maharaj explains in that ninth story that this, in the villages of Odisha, they would perform the dramas. And one time they were doing this drama of Lord Narsingdev. And the actor one was acting as Lord Narsingdev was watching, you know, how Hiranyakashipu was troubling Prahlad Maharaj. When his time was up to come from the pillar, he was so involved in the drama, he came and he actually ripped off the actor who was acting as Hiranyakashipu. He killed him. And there was a court case against him that, you know, you killed him. But some other, the judge was also a devotee, you know. He realized, okay, you know, this man was so absorbed in the drama that the absorption of drama made him do like that. So he did not punish him. He said, you go and be careful when you act. Next time he was acting in Lord Ram's drama, and this time he was acting as Dasharatha Maharaj. You can guess what happened to him. He was so absorbed in the drama. Actually on the stage, in the separation of Lord Ram, he passed away. He died. He went back to Godhead. No? Just see such absorption. So therefore, this whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is so nectarian. Bhagavatam is so nectarian. That if there is some facility provided for our children, ourselves and older people, no, older people walking with dogs, right? In India also. No, watching television and discussing politics, which will be never change. By discussing, nothing is going to change, but at least you change your own consciousness at the time when you are supposed to perform, you know, the act of devotional service, hear beautiful pastimes of the Lord. If they don't do it, life becomes such miserable. And again, these things don't provide even satisfaction and pleasure. Material life, without the touch of Krishna, he is not going to provide. Moghasha, mogha karmano, mogha jnana vichetasa. Asurim rakshasam chaiva prakriti mohinim shita. Krishna explains in the Gita that all the endeavors, all their hopes, all their karma will be reaching to the point of frustration only. Why? Because there is no connection of God. There is no connection of Krishna. So in this beautiful pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita Acharya is presenting such a beautiful point of being servant of the Lord. Servitorship is so beautiful from the Krishna consciousness point of view, so scary from the material point of view. That man in Japan, when Prabhupada had gone for that Macmillan company, you know, after bargain, you know, he asked the sales executive, what do you want to be? What is your goal of life? You know, very dramatically he took out his visiting card. And he put it down below everybody else. And then he again removed it and he placed it above everybody else. He said, this is my goal of life. I want to be boss. I want to be the boss of the company. That is my goal, some or other. But here we see Prabhupada is quoting Hanumanji and King Kulashekar and then Rupa Goswami in Ramayana. Hanumanji, very beautiful, when he came to meet Lord Ram on behalf of Sugriv. And Hanumanji realized. He told Sugriv, don't worry, it doesn't seem to be the enemies. They are not friends of Vali. I have heard that these two brothers are moving. Maybe they are sons of Dasharath. Let me go and talk to them. He came down and he spoke so beautifully. He spoke extremely beautiful and Lord Ram was very charmed by the presentation of Hanumanji. And Lord Ram said, he told Lakshman, my dear Lakshman, just see his diction. Ram actually analyzed his speech. Ram analyzed his diction. Ram analyzed his facial expression. Ram analyzed his composition of the sentence. Very, very nicely explained. And he concluded, this person must have studied all the four Vedas. His speech is like singing, like Samaveda. That shows that he has studied Samaveda. And he speaks words without breaking. That means he must have studied which Veda, which is, you know, long, long words. Huh? Yajurveda. He must have studied Yajurveda. In this way, Ram talked about him. But Ram said, Lakshman, you answer the question of Hanumanji. Ram did not answer. So before that, Lord Ram, whenever anyone came to him, Shurpanaka came, she asked, who are you? Ram so innocently spoke everything to her. No, he didn't hold back. Open book. I am son of Dasharath. You know, my father has sent me to the forest for 14 years. He explained everything to her. When he met with Kabanda, he spoke also to him. He spoke to Guha. He spoke to Bharadaraja. He spoke to everybody. When they asked question to him, he answered. But when Hanumanji is asking, and Hanumanji's speech was, you know, charming to Lord Ram, and he conveyed to Lakshman, my dear Lakshman, if I can get this man as my ambassador, will be so nice. And you answer. Why Hanumanji did not get straight answer from Lord Ram? Only one mistake Hanumanji made. That's what the Vaishnava Acharyas explain. While narrating, while speaking, while giving his identity, he made one mistake. He said that I am the secretary of Sugriv. So when you come to Krishna, you don't come and say, you know, I am the boss of this company. No, I am the CEO, I am the professor, I am the PhD. When we come to Krishna, all those designation has to be staying along with the shoes in the shoe rack. So what is our identity with Krishna? Our identity with Krishna is that we are most insignificant. So Lord Rama is extremely precise, you know, how you come and talk to him. But Ram did not speak. He did not chastise Hanumanji that how can you say like this. He didn't say anything. So he told Lakshman, you answer. Now Lakshman is so apt in understanding the heart of Ram. Lakshman did not tell Hanumanji. Hanumanji made a big mistake. Just see, the way of correction is also very subtle. When we try to correct, it is so gross. You know, it's like performing surgery without anesthesia. So Hanumanji was Lakshman seeing what Ram want to say. Lakshman told Hanumanji, he said, you know, this is Ram, son of Dasharath, the great king, and we have come to this forest being asked by our father for 14 years of Vanvas, and that my brother has lost his wife, you are looking for mother Sita. And if you ask about my identity, this is where Hanumanji realized. He said, my identity is that, he said, it is the greatness of Lord Ram, he considers me as his brother. That is his greatness, that he calls me as his brother. But if you ask me, I am simply the most insignificant servant. Being attracted by his quality, being attracted by his greatness, I have taken the position of being the servant of Lord Ram. Hanumanji realized, I made a big blunder. I made a big blunder of calling myself the secretary of Sugriv. At least if you was a devotee then you could say servant of the servant. Now Sugriv was not surrendered also. So Hanumanji realized. But Hanumanji was also so subtle. He didn't say, oh, sorry, you know. Sometime when we make mistake, when our spiritual master, you know, when he corrects or senior devotees correct, we go and plead again and again, sorry. Putting them also in an embarrassing situation. Rectifying our mistake is not by putting others in embarrassment. So Hanumanji was very careful not to speak his mistake. He was looking for the right time. And it is explained that a Hanumanji, to make him go deeper in his relationship with Lord Ram, for next 4 months, Ram did not speak to Hanumanji. Very interesting. Only when their party, search party was going on, Lord Ram knew who will find out Sita. And he gave the ring. He said, you are the one. You will do it. So still Hanumanji, you know, did not say, you know, I'm actually your servant. Sorry, I said I'm your Sugriva's secretary. When he came to Lanka, and when he destroyed the Ashok Vatika, and he was captured by Indrajit, and they brought him in front of demon Ravan. When they brought him in front of Ravan, Ravan asked him, who are you? So that was the chance. There Hanumanji said, he said, Dasoham Koshalendrasya. He said, I am the servant of Lord Ram. Then he gave other identification also. Actually, I am the son of Anjana. You know, I am the servant of Sugriv. Now to say Sugriv servant is apt. Why? Because Sugriv also had become the devotee of Lord Ram. So therefore, when Hanumanji came back, Lord Ram was so happy with Hanumanji. And this is the time. Then Lord Ram told Hanumanji, just see, the Lord is also so obliged by his devotee. He says, my dear Hanumanji, even if I repay what you have done to me, if I come back to this world again and again, and I try to repay, it will not be possible. Therefore, I have nothing else to offer. I will only hug you. So Lord Ram embraced Hanumanji. And therefore, when Lord Ram was going back to Ayodhya, back to the spiritual world, he was giving benediction to everybody. He asked Hanumanji, what do you want? Hanumanji said, I don't want anything. I just want to stay here. I don't want to give up this body. Why? This body has been embraced by you. I remember when Michael Jackson came to India many years back. You know, there was news everywhere. And naturally all the young children, young people were so fascinated to hear him scream. No. So when he came, you know, one student told me, I remember one of our devotee, before he became a devotee, he wanted to see this concert. And he had less money. He came from another town. You know, he take little vada pav, that is the food in Bombay. And he wanted to be as close as possible. Sitting in from the morning, you know, they were allowing people to come from the morning. Until the evening, he had such an acidity, you know, he could not enjoy this concert. Afterwards, he came in touch with devotees, then he forgot, you know, Michael Jackson. Actually, he wanted to be working for him, free of cost. So, when he came, he picked up one young girl from the audience, and he kissed her. And for next 8 days, she did not take the bath. Thinking, if I take the bath, that experience will go away. That's a perversion of Hanumanji's not giving up the body. Hanumanji didn't want to give the body. Why? Because that body was embraced by Lord Ram. And Hanumanji said, my dear Lord, provide me millions of years. Why millions of years? Because wherever the Ram Katha is going on, and Ram Katha will go everywhere. So wherever Ram Katha is going on, I want to extend my years. I don't want to miss any Katha. So I want to stay in this world. And Bhagavatam explains that Hanumanji lives in Kim Purusha Loka, you know, listening to Ram Katha and glorifying Lord Ram. And what does he say? One prayer Hanumanji says that, my dear Lord, what are we? Who are we? He said, we are simply vanaras. We are subhumans. And even though we are subhumans and we have no education, we have no high birth, we have no qualification, but still the brother of Lakshman accepted us as his very close relative and friend. So we are so fortunate. We are fortunate not because it is our own independent good fortune. It is the grace of God. It is grace of Krishna. It is grace of Lord Ram that he is willing to provide. So therefore, why will not Advaita Acharya, you know, be the servant of Lord Chaitanya? Because that's the greatest pleasure. The Supreme Lord, when he comes to this material world, know, people have the concept of God is that God is very, very dominating, you know, power hungry. No. Like we had gone to one visa office and this man, the visa officer, he said, you know, I don't accept the concept of God. I said, why? He said, because we see how my boss, they exploit me. You know, he's small boss and he's exploiting. You can imagine God is such a powerful boss, he could be exploiting much more. The whole concept of boss means exploiter. He said, therefore, I don't want to accept God as a supreme power. Because if you accept supreme power, that means he'll exploit us. But if you study Bhagavatam, the Lord coming to this material world, the very concept of incarnation, the concept of avatar, is so beautiful that avatar means one who comes down to our level. Not that he becomes like us, but he comes to our level and he interacts with living entities. One definition of Paramatma, it is explained. Paramatma means what? Krishna's greatest charity. Being available to all. Giving oneself to all the living entities, whether it is cockroach, whether it is rat, whether it is snake or human being, he is there in everybody's heart. It is not mechanistic. Paramatma, being in the heart of the living entity, is not an automatic system. He is forced to come in everybody's heart. No, of course, now to go. That is his compassion. He is extending himself. That is the greatest charity. That the Lord is willing to perform the greatest charity of being available to all the living entities. And if you use him rightly, you know, that hear his words, Anumanta, Upadrashta, Bhokta, Bharta, Gita explains. If we follow the guidance of Paramatma, he's there, watching, waiting that when will we turn our face? When we turn our face and hear him, then the beautiful concept of bhakti, they unfold, which is coming through the parampara system. Whether it is Hanumanji's story or Advaita Acharya, you know, all these things. And therefore, we see Lord Krishna also, this the cover page of the Bhagavad Gita where Lord is driving the chariot of Arjuna. And that's what attracted that Brahmana when Lord Chaitanya came to South India. You know, he saw everybody teasing him, everybody ridiculing him, and he was crying. They did not understood his heart because they were not devotees. They were simply scholars of the external recitation of the Shastra. But Mahaprabhu, you know, he's acting as a devotee, is God. He understood the heart of this person. Therefore, he asked this question, you know, why are you crying when you read Gita? He said, oh, my guru ordered me to read Bhagavad Gita every day, but I don't know how to read exactly. I try to read and my reading is not very clear. I make so many mistakes. So is it that you are crying because of despondency? He said, no. He said, when I try to read Gita, every time when I try to read Gita, I see that how the Supreme Personality of God is driving the chariot of his devotee. He said, that puts me in tears. Mahaprabhu said, you are a real student of Gita. That you have understood Gita really. That the Lord, and that's what Arjuna in the Bhagavatam first canto, he explains how Krishna, the Supreme Lord, you know, becoming a chariot driver. I have heard this, you know, somewhere I heard this story, that when a chariot driver drives his chariot, especially in the battlefield, you know, the warrior, he cannot speak to the chariot driver, okay, you go this side, you go that side, because he is absorbed in blasting the opposite, you know, soldier to bring down their confidence. Verbally also you bring down the confidence of people. I think it happens in the sports also, right? You know, when they're playing the opposite party, they try to speak and try to bring down their confidence. So that's how they have to do. And if you read Mahabharata all the time, Bhima, you know, he is blasting Dronacharya. That's how he broke his confidence. You know, your son is dead. You idiot Brahman, you're still here. You have no shame. You know, kept on harassing. He told a lie, but lie didn't work. So what was working was breaking his confidence. You have no shame. Bhima had no hesitation. He had to do the needful. So that's how Dronacharya lost his confidence. So the warrior is engaged in speaking all the time. and his eyes are focused, you know, to save himself from the weapons which are coming from opposite direction. So only way he can tell the chariot driver which direction to go by kicking. You know, if you kick in the middle, then he takes your chariot straight. Kicks in the side, and he takes it left side. Kicks on the right side, he takes on the right side. So therefore, when Duryodhan asked, just see, this is the difference between Krishna and this Sarthi Shalya. When he asked that you become the chariot driver of Karna, he wants. Karna is saying that he has everything. He has got a better weapon than Arjuna. He has got better skills. He would always boast like that. He said, I've got everything better than Arjuna. Only one thing I'm lacking is that I don't have a chariot driver like Krishna. If you can get me a chariot driver like Krishna, it is guaranteed that I'll kill hundreds of Arjunas. Give me one. So Duryodhan said, who is there? He said, Shalya is very good. He's as good as Krishna. So when Duryodhan conveyed indirectly this message to Shalya, he was so offended. He said, you think I'm here to drive the chariot of this Sutaputra? I'm going back. I'm not going to stay here. So Duryodhan is very diplomatic. So Duryodhan praised him to the sky. You are so great. You are better than Karna in warriorship. You are better than everybody else. You know, but you know, this is our problem. Can you become? He said, okay, I'll become chariot driver, but on one condition, that he cannot tell me what to do. If you hire a driver and he says, you can't tell me where I should drive. I'll drive your car, but one condition, you can't tell me. Go to Central London. No, I'll go to East London. So actually put that condition, he cannot tell me what I should do. And he should follow whatever I say. So from very beginning that was a mismatch. So when they start driving, both are fighting with each other. Karna is saying bad things to Shalya and Shalya is saying bad things to him. And to the extent where they talk about their village, their people, their town. In Hindi, tere gaon ke log aise, no? So they are constantly finding. At one time, Shalya got down. He said, I don't want to drive your chariot. So there's no match only. But here Arjuna and Krishna, you know, because Krishna is extremely humble. The Supreme Lord is so humble, and therefore Parikshit Maharaj, he explains in the Bhagavatam in the very first canto, he said, you know, how can I not glorify the Lord when I remember what he did for our family? He became messenger. Carrying a message to the other side, you know, the peacemaking, when he came to Hastinapur, you know, these people were not courteous enough to invite. Some of them, yes. You know, Bhishma, Drona. But the people whom he had come to tell, it is explained Duryodhan did not even rise from his seat to welcome Krishna. They were not willing to hear. They walked out in the middle of the talk. And they walked out hoping that we can capture Krishna and put him in the prison. That was their plan. Dushyasan, Duryodhan, Karna and Shakuni. You know, he went there as a peacemaker. And then he was guarding. Parikshit Maharaj explains Krishna was guarding, sitting in Virasan, protecting the Pandavas. And when he came to Bhishma Dev to beg, you know, how will we put you aside from the battlefield? As long as you are there on the battlefield, there is no guarantee for Pandava's victory. Krishna came there. When Arjuna had to perform, Yudhishthira Maharaj to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, they realized it is so difficult. Nobody, even Lord Ram, did not perform Rajasuya sacrifice. But it's very difficult sacrifice. Krishna quoted only few people had performed Rajasuya sacrifice, and Pandavas performing that Rajasuya sacrifice having very less resources was almost impossible. And one of the biggest obstacle was Jarasan. Now Jarasan wanted to be the emperor. So Krishna told Yudhishthira, I will go to Jarasan. I will beg. So actually Yudhishthira Maharaj had tears in his eyes that my Lord, you know, is going on our behalf and is going to ask bhiksha. You know, whether you ask yuddha bhiksha, or you ask bhiksha for money, or you bhiksha for land, begging for a kshatriya from another kshatriya is very, very, you know, it's like you quit your body only. But Lord was willing to do that. Bhiksham dehi. When Jarasandha was providing all kinds of charity, and Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima are standing in line. He would not even look up who is taking the charity. And they said, Yuddha Bhiksha, he looked up. Who has the daring to ask Jarasan for Yuddha Bhiksha? But his pride was, he realized this is Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima. He said, at last you have come asking charity from me. That was his pride. So Krishna is willing to beg charity for his devotee. Krishna is willing to drive the chariot for Arjuna. And this is what Parikshit Maharaj remembers. So when we study Bhagavatam, that the Lord is very powerful, but when he comes to this material world, he is willing to accept that position of being the servant of his devotee. Therefore, there is a competition in devotional service. Who is greater servant? The Lord or Lord's devotees? When he arranged this Rajusya sacrifice, Krishna gave different kinds of service to everybody else. Duryodhana gave the service. Okay, you collect all the wealth which comes to the Pandavas. By seeing all the wealth of the Pandavas, Duryodhana should become more envious. So he was given that service. And Karna thought himself to be a very charitable person. So he was given the charge of giving charity. If you have to give charity of somebody else's money, you know, it's not a problem. So he was given that service. And Krishna himself, he chose the service of washing the feet of great devotees. And Shripad Madhvacharya explains in this commentary, not only Krishna accepted the position of washing the feet of devotees, after all the sages would eat prasad, Krishna's prasad only. If you go to the South Indian temples, you know, the serving is done by the brahmanas. But, you know, removing the plates, the leaf plates, that is not done by the brahmanas. They call shudras. Very clear. You know, even if they are serving devotees, you know, the plates, service is done by them, but taking out is done by others. But here, Krishna, it is explained that he was taking out all the plates which were eaten by devotees and putting it in the corner. So who could be competing with Krishna in regards to be servant? Nobody can compete. And therefore Lord Chaitanya came here, and then Advaita Acharya is, you know, he is competing with Lord. Whatever it takes to become servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by performing this drama also of speaking Mayavad, you know, and making angry, you know, Lord Chaitanya became so angry, he went and beat him very badly. And Advaita Acharya was jumping. Yes, now you have accepted me as servant. Only master can beat his servant. So Lord Chaitanya was tricked by Advaita Acharya. Right. Such a beautiful pastime. So therefore, it's our good fortune that we get to hear, if not three times a day, no, morning, afternoon and evening, at least if we get to hear in the morning Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Devotees, then we understand the concept of servitorship and how it is foreign to this world. And if we can reconcile between our day-to-day life and the servitorship explained in the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Ramayana, then our life certainly becomes sublime. Then maybe when we are listening to Bhagavatam, like that Muslim man or that man in Odisha, hearing, like I was speaking yesterday, one of our devotees, father, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, you know, the big industrialist Mafatlal, his father was a great devotee of Ram. And at certain age, he decided to wind up his business, means retire, and just spend performing his service to his guru. And morning 3 hours and evening 3 hours, he would perform his sadhana. And he wanted to leave his body in Chitrakoot. And he came to Chitrakoot eventually. Very amazing how Krishna provided him death. On the day of Kartik, after completing hearing Ramayana was completed at 7:05, and they placed some Charanamrita in his mouth because he completed the reading of Ramayana. And looking at the picture of his guru, on the day of his guru's appearance day and the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, he left his body. Such a glorious departure. So one who lives that kind of life, Krishna takes the responsibility of providing that facility. That you quit your body in such a way You know, therefore Ramanujacharya was having this question that Krishna says, antakalecha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram, that only one who remembers Krishna at the time of death will go back to Godhead. Otherwise, yamyam api smaran bhavam tvajetyante kalevaram. She was a little scared. What if I don't remember Krishna at the time of death? This question was haunting Sripada Ramanujacharya. So he asked his guru, Kanchipurna. He would talk to Lord Varadaraj. He said, you talk to Lord Varadaraj, you know, this question is, you know, kind of bothering me. Can you ask your Lord? So he went and asked Varadaraj, my dear Lord, this is the question of your devotee. What will happen if he does not remember you at the time of death? You know, Lord says, ask him, I will remember him. If he doesn't remember, I will remember him. And that's what Krishna does. I was telling this story, I'll conclude with this story. One of our brahmachari's sister's father-in-law was raised in nice cultured family, worshipping Radha Govind every day for many years. And somehow that he came in touch with the communistic people, and they, with their, you know, aggressive philosophy, you know, he was kind of fell into their trap, and he stopped going to Radha Govind for 20 years. You know, fully involved in communistic activities. But he met in an accident, and he lost his memory. And whatever memory he lost, only the 20 years of being a communist. When he was unconscious, he was only remembering Radha Govind, Radha Govind, Radha Govind. And by remembering Radha Govind, he left his body. So communists did not come to his aid. Rather, they forgot him. They did not come to his aid, but Krishna came, even though this devotee had forgotten, you know, Krishna. So that is Krishna's promise. So therefore, if you follow the procedure, the process which is given by Srila Prabhupada, then there is a chance that we understand, we practice, we implement, and we go back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.